Gospel according to St. Mark, the 7th chapter. Jesus set out and went away to the region of Tyre. He entered a house and did not want anyone to know he was there. Yet he could not escape notice. But a woman whose little daughter had an unclean spirit immediately heard about him, and she came and bowed down at his feet. Now the woman was a Gentile of Syrophoenician origin. She begged him to cast the demon out of her daughter. He said to her, "Let the children be fed first, for it is not fair to take the children's food and throw it to the dogs." But she answered him, "Sir, even the dogs under the table eat the children's crumbs." Then he said to her, "For saying that, you may go. The demon has left your daughter." So she went home, found the child lying in the bed, and the demon gone. Then he returned from the region of Tyre and went away to Sidon towards the Sea of Galilee, in the region of the Decapolis. He brought to him a deaf man who had an impediment in his speech, and they begged him to lay his hand on him. He took him aside in private, away from the crowd, and put his fingers into his ears, and he spat and touched his tongue. Then looking up to heaven, he sighed and said to him, "Ephphatha," that is, "be opened." And immediately his ears were opened, his tongue was released, and he spoke plainly. Then Jesus ordered them to tell no one, but the more he ordered them, the more zealously they proclaimed it. They were astounded beyond measure, saying, "He has done everything well. He even makes the deaf to hear and the mute to speak." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
You may be seated, and I invite the children to come forward for the children's sermon. Good morning. Good morning. Is it a good morning? All right. Good morning. All right. I want y'all to do something this morning. And y'all are good at it already. I can tell. All right. I want you to be there and be quiet. Okay. Just be there and be quiet for a minute. Can y'all do that? All right. While you were there being quiet, what did you hear? What'd you hear? Did you hear anything? What'd you hear? Do you hear people shuffling around a little bit? Do you hear anybody talking, maybe? Maybe a little bit? Uh-huh. Do you hear any babies? No, I didn't hear any babies either. I thought maybe we'd hear a few babies. What? Your mama has a baby. All right. Okay. But you could hear, even though everybody else was quiet, you could hear some things going on, right? Okay, now, I want you to put your hands over your ears. Okay, now what did you hear? Did you hear anything? No, nothing at all, probably because everybody was quiet in here. If you didn't have your ears plugged up, you could probably hear people shuffling again, maybe somebody whispering in the background. You could hear a few noises going on. But when you got your hands over your ears, you can't hear anything. Okay, now I need you to do something else. I want you to go la 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 la. All right, y'all ready? All right. La 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 la. Okay, now I want you to go la 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 la, but this time with your hand over your mouth. Okay. What one was louder? With your hand or without your hand? Well, out your hand. What was clearer, with your hand or without your hand? Without your hand. All right. Now, what if I tried to talk like this? Can you hear me again? You might be able to understand me a little bit, but you can't understand really what I'm saying, can you? Now, if I'm just kind of muffled, you can't hear a thing that I'm saying really. All right. In our story, I don't know if y'all listened to it, but in our story today, there was a man who could not hear. And he also had a speech impediment, which means he couldn't speak very well. He had a speech impediment and he couldn't speak very well. okay? And people couldn't understand him. What do you think it'd be like not to be able to hear or not be able to speak? Think about that. You couldn't hear a baby cry. You couldn't hear somebody else talking to you. You couldn't hear the birds and the trees. Or after all this rain, you couldn't hear all the frogs or the cicadas making noises in the evenings. You couldn't hear the wind blowing in the trees. You couldn't hear your friends playing or laughing. You'd miss out on a lot of stuff, wouldn't you? Or what if you couldn't speak? What if you couldn't do anything with your mouth? Think how hard that would be to live. You couldn't tell your mom, "I'm hungry." Or you couldn't laugh. Or you couldn't speak to your friends. Or you couldn't sing a song. Think of all the things that you would miss. And so there was a man in our gospel story today, in our Bible story today, that couldn't hear and he couldn't speak. But you know what? Jesus healed him. The man had some friends, and they brought him to Jesus, and they asked him, "Can you touch him and make him well?" And sure enough, that's what Jesus did. He made him well. He healed him. Do you have some friends that are maybe sick or maybe hurting? Okay, what's their names? Do you have a name of a friend? Your daddy? Your granny. Okay. Anybody else? Anybody else that know anybody that's sick or hurting? Okay. In our church today, later on, we're going to be praying for a lot of people, but let's go ahead and pray for Granny right now, okay? Because that's what we can do. We can speak, we can pray, we can talk to God, and God listens to us. All right, let us pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, we give you thanks that you give us ears to hear and eyes to see and tongues to talk and hands to move and feet to walk. We pray that you be with those who are suffering, either from pain or illness or from some other impediment. We pray especially for Granny. May you help her get better. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Okay, y'all can go sit down. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. I'll have to admit it. Sometimes I get caught up in it too, or I get pulled into it. Standing there in the grocery checkout line, just waiting my turn and kind of looking around, and there it is. The headlines just blare out. Boy has 3-foot tongue. My mother is a space alien. Elvis and Adolf Hitler shared a secret CIA condo together. Those headlines grab your attention. You can't help but see they're in big bold print, or they're in red print, or they're lit up and they have pictures all over the place, and it catches your eye. And you know, and it's kind of funny. You almost look for it because, in a sense, you want to be entertained because it's sensational, it's outrageous, it's crazy, maybe, or maybe there's some truth to some of that stuff that's in there. But it catches your attention, and it grabs you, getting us away from the mundane thing of just going grocery shopping. Or maybe it's the fake news that grabs your attention, maybe through social media or just the internet in general. And it's sensational, and it wraps us up in emotions. Maybe those emotions are laughter, or maybe it's outrage of what's going on. Or maybe they make you angry. But those things grab our attention. They want to hold us. And they want to entertain us to a certain extent as well then too. In our gospel lesson today, there's that story about the man who is deaf and mute. Wouldn't it be great if one of these tabloid writers had written the story? You could just see it. The first century Palestinians there in the marketplace as they went about doing their shopping, they'd see the headlines, and they're in big red print with quotation marks around it. "I've been cured." And a subheading under there, "Man from Nazareth spits and says magic word." For the full story, for the full scoop, turn to page 3. But Jesus didn't want the sensationalism. As a matter of fact, he wanted just the opposite. In that first story we read today, the person that he healed, the little girl that he healed, who had a demon within her, she wasn't even there. People didn't see it happen. It was quiet in that respect. And here in the second story about the deaf and mute man, Jesus took the man aside, away from the crowds that were constantly pressing in on him. He took him to a private place, and that's where he healed him. And then he also told the man, tell no one what has happened. Jesus wanted that quiet. There's several reasons, I think, maybe there's different theories and different things of why Jesus did the healings many times in quiet, or why he told people to be quiet. And it is throughout the gospel lessons. It's not only this story, but it is a number of stories, and particularly in Mark's gospel, where Jesus tells them, do not tell anybody about this. There's several reasons for it. One is, I think, is that it is Jesus has compassion on people. This is for that person. It's not for the whole crowd to see. Jesus doesn't want to be, he's not trying to produce a show. He's not doing a carnival act. He's not doing magic. He doesn't want to entertain the people. He does this because he has compassion for people. He wants to heal them. He wants to make them whole. He wants to make them better. He wants to give them a new life. And that's the reason he does it. But the other reason, I think, that Jesus does not want all this publicity or the sensationalism or all the hype is because in all that sensationalism and hype, his message gets buried. People will not listen to the message. Rather, they're only going to see what they want to see, which is a magic trick, which is a miracle. And that's all they want to see because that's something for them. It's entertainment. But rather, his message then, he doesn't want that because his message will be buried. And his message is his salvation that he has brought to the people. His message is that the kingdom of God has come near. He wants them to hear and see why he does these things. He also wants them to see that God can conquer all things, that God can overcome all things. Whether it's being deaf or being mute, or being sick, or being a leopard, or being demon-possessed, or even being dead. God can come overcome all those things. And God has come here now. He's present now, and that's the message that Jesus was bringing. This healing that Jesus did was down and dirty. It was at that moment, at that time, for that person right there. This wasn't some kind of sterile medical healing. It involved spitting. It involved touching. Jesus put his fingers in the man's ear. Jesus spat and put his fingers on the man's tongue. And the man was made well. Jesus also spoke a word. The word was epitha. And Mark records this story in such accuracy that he actually records that word because that was an Aramaic word. The New Testament is written in Greek. The Old Testament is written in Hebrew, the official languages, so to speak. But Aramaic was the common language. That's the language that everybody spoke in that day and time when they visited with one another. And Mark actually records that word, epitha, which means be open. Be open. When Jesus says be open, the man could hear. His ears were opened up so that he could hear. His mouth was opened up so that he could speak. And Jesus, the man was given a new life. And that's the message that Jesus wanted to give. He didn't want that buried in the crowd. The man was given a new life. No longer would he have to just simply beg on the street, hoping that people were generous enough so that he could eat for that day. No longer would people take pity on him, look at him with pity. No longer would they see him maybe as being retarded or stupid because he can't communicate. And he was neither one of those things. He got a new life. Even if it was just a normal life, what we would consider a normal life, for him, that was a new life. And that's the message that Jesus brings, that he doesn't want to get swallowed up in the midst of the crowd, in the midst of the sensation or the wonder. That message that Jesus brings salvation, Jesus brings new life, not only for the age to come, but right now, here in this present. The kingdom of God is near. The kingdom of God is here. Jesus heals this man. He says, "Ephphatha." Maybe that's what Jesus needs to tell us as well then too. My wife used to accuse me of having selective hearing. That I only wanted to hear the things that I wanted to hear from her. I think sometimes maybe that's our illness and our disease too. When it comes to hearing the word of God, we have selective hearing sometimes. There's things that God says that we really don't want to listen to. Things like, forgive your neighbor. God, I don't want to forgive my neighbor. I want to get even. Or, love your enemies. God, I don't want to love my enemies. I want to destroy them. There's things that God tells us that we just don't want to hear. And so we have a problem with our hearing. Hearing is tied to speech. Little children learn how to speak by hearing adults speak, by hearing their parents speak to them. They learn to form those words with their mouth, to make them sound the same as parents are. They learn a language, they learn how to speak from listening. And so if we have selective hearing, and we don't want to hear certain things, what's going to come out of our mouths? What are we going to speak? Are we going to speak words of forgiveness? Are we going to speak words of mercy if we don't want to hear those things from God, or if we don't listen to those things of God? If we ignore those things, are those things going to be able to come out of us? Children learn from listening. Many times. They learn from listening and seeing and doing and all those things. But they too learn to speak. We begin a new Sunday school year today. We begin with Rally Day today. Please pray for the children. Please pray for the teachers who are involved in Sunday school. And as parents or grandparents, you too have a responsibility. You too are the ones who are to teach your children to speak those words of God to your children. Because if they don't hear those words, they'll never receive them in their heart, and they will never be able to speak those things. A lot of times we do have the hearing problem, but we also have the speech problem. Our tongues get tongue-tied when we need to talk about God. Whether it is words of compassion, or whether it's words of faith, or whether it's words against an injustice, we get tongue-tied and we don't know how to speak. But through the grace of God, by the Spirit of God, He gives us that gift of knowledge, of being of speech and knowledge, of being able to speak, to be able to share that word. And when we speak that word, maybe others too will be able to hear. And maybe too they will be able to speak, and they will know that surely the kingdom of God has come near. Amen.